Ain't you thankful that
there have been times that I've not always been faithful?
Amen. I've not always done what I was supposed to do, but there's never been a time that he's not been faithful to me.
Amen.
Better than we deserve, every day, all the time. And I'm thankful that we serve someone who's never going to forsake us.
Amen.
He's never going to leave us. He's never going to fail us. No matter how hard of a situation you're going through, no matter how low of a valley you get in, he's been there, and he's right there with you. It may seem like he's a million miles away, but he's right there with us. Oh, I'm thankful for we serve our faithful Father today. If you would, this morning, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Job in chapter number 2. The book of Job in chapter number 2 for just a few minutes, as the Lord allows us there this morning. We've got a thought there and a few points. I'll try not to keep you longer than an hour, 90 minutes. Job chapter number 2, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. If you would, when you found your place, if you would stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God here this morning. The book of Job chapter number 2 and verse number 1 of the Word says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job sin not, or sin with his lips." We see this morning, look back in verse number 9 at this one phrase, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" Thinking about that thought this morning, we have to ask ourselves, do we still retain our integrity? Integrity is something that is sorely lacking in the nation here this morning. It is something that we have to be in constant prayer for the Lord to help us. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious and dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we thank you once again for this opportunity we have to be gathered here in your house here this morning. Father, we thank you for all the many blessings you've given to us. Father, we're thankful that you have been faithful to us. Lord, we're thankful that you have taken our place on the cross, shed your blood for our sins, that we might have everlasting life. Father, forgive us now for the times we have failed you. Lord, forgive us for our sins here this morning. Lord, take the reading of your word, bless it, and use it as you see fit. Lord, just take the reins of the service here this morning. Let all things be done to glorify you. Father, please be with the many prayer requests and the objects as well. Have your will and your way in all things, and be careful to give you the praise and the glory and honor for all things, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated there this morning. When you think about that word integrity, a lot of things may come to mind. If you look at most dictionaries in the world, they usually all settle in on two particular definitions. The first one being thinking of the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that you refuse to change. The other one we think of, the quality of being whole and complete. Both of those kind of tie in together there. If we are going to be someone who's going to serve the Lord, we need to have a sense of integrity about us. Not the so-called moral compass that the world would call it there, but having the moral code and following the principles and what God has laid down in His Scripture and has given to us there. Even thinking about integrity today, again, it's something that is sore lacking in our nation. You don't have to look far to find some people who lack to have a sense of integrity.
Amen.
Think about those out there. We think about honesty. We think about all the things that are there. But Job this morning, if we was to go back and we'll look through, we've got five things to look at this morning, the way Job demonstrated that he retained to himself and towards those around about him, that he retained a sense of integrity in all the things that he had there, and all the things that come across them in his life. We see in the book of Job in chapter 1 and verse number 1, going back to the beginning of the book here, said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feastings were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Listen to what the Lord says here. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" First of this morning, we see that Job retained his integrity in the good times in his life. You may say, well, that seems to be like a pretty easy thing, as we think there. If you was to look ahead and go up to the New Testament, you would find more than once, but particularly in Luke 18, verse number 25, the Lord said, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Job was a wealthy man. The Bible says that he was the greatest man in all the East. He had great material possessions. He had more than those people that was going to be around him there. But despite having that prosperity, despite having things around there, he did not let that distract him from what he knew he should be doing that was right and obeying what God had commanded him. Even though things were going good, he didn't get distracted and begin to fall by the wayside. What happens to us a lot of times? Things are going pretty good, and of course, lately we can talk about all different things, whether it be, you know, what's going on at the gas pump, or you can fill in the blank all the places where we see the prices are going up and things are happening. It may not say that right now is good times, but back when things were going pretty good, the economy was going great and had a good job and the Lord had blessed us there, it's sometimes easy to grow complacent in what we have had round about and forget where the very blessing has come from in and of itself. Forget what God has given to us in this life. We tend to forget the things that are there, and it's a cycle through history. You go back and look at the children of Israel. Whenever God brought them out of the land of Egypt, they're going to go to the promised land. They had battles that was going to be fought. And of course, God laid out to them, saying, "If you're going to listen to me, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to bless you. The land's going to bring forth its fruit. You're going to be multiplied. The strength is going to be there. But if you forsake me, you turn from my ways, you go the opposite way," the opposite was going to be true. There was going to be also a curse that come along there with it because they turned their back on the teachings of God. Israel did that several times all through their history. Before they had a king that was going to come along, they had the judges that God would bring up. They would turn their back on God. They would begin to serve the gods of this world. And then God would deliver them into the hands, whether it be of a foreign power, whether it be Midian, Philistines, many adversaries that they had during that day. And God would raise up a judge. They would turn and they would repent. And they would begin to follow after God. God would deliver them from it. And after that judge was gone, they would turn and go right back to where they were again. Begin to look at the things of this world as a cycle that went back and forth. Even when the kings of Israel came upon the scene, we see the same thing was happening there as well. They went back and forth, and eventually God judged the children of Israel by giving them up into captivity in Babylon. Both the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah is a cycle that went back and forth. As we think about today, think about how that Job retained his integrity in the good times. Let us learn from Job, and let us learn from the children of Israel that when things go good, we need to still be focusing and praying to God, still need to keep our integrity and not be distracted by the prosperity that's around us. Not to turn to them just when the times go bad and begin to pray for them, and things go good again, we forget where we were once before. He reminds them there, Job retained his integrity in the good times. Next this morning, if you go and look in verse number 5 of Job chapter 1, it said, "And so it was, when the days of our feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Job not only retained his integrity in the good times, we see here nextly this morning that Job retained his integrity toward his children as well. I saw just a secular article this past week, and I don't have the exact figures, but it caught my eye when I saw the headline. Of course, today being Father's Day, again, thankful for the fathers. that God has allowed to be in my life, for my father who is now also in heaven has gone on, but also those who have been a father figure to me, those I have learned from that have been in my life, I thank God for them. But the statistic was something like there are 16.5 million children in this country that don't have a father or father figure in their life. 16.5 million. If the old devil is going to hit anybody where it's hurt, he's going to hit him right where the family is. That was the first institution that God had created. You go back into Genesis. You had the husband and the wife. Then they had the kids that come along there. That was the nuclear core family, as they would call it nowadays. But that was the first institution by God. And if the devil wants to get at you, he's going to go after your family. If the devil's going to try to get after the church, he's going to get after our nation, he's going to try to destroy the family. We can look at the news headlines nowadays and see many things that are out there, and the family has been under attack now for many a year. Family has been there, and the devil is going to target that there. But Job here, he retained his integrity toward his children. Notice in this verse number 5, it said that he sent and sanctified them. He didn't just, I always thought before whenever I'd read this, whenever I looked at it, I always thought, well, he was always there offering up burnt offerings for them every day. But this says he sent and sanctified. That means he's also going to them, teaching them. And then he wasn't just praying and offering that sacrifices for them there. He was also teaching them in what ways was going to be right that's there. Right. Now we think about, of course, being Father's Day. Father's got a responsibility to be the spiritual head of the family. Got a responsibility to lead the family that's there. The book of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Thinking about this nation, thinking that it's there, thinking about even just my little one, I pray God will give me the grace and the wisdom to be able to raise her and to teach her the things that God would have me to teach her. Out of his word, how to expect things in life, how to see things that are there, how to recognize thoughts that are there. Just yesterday, I was out doing a little bit of yard work, you know, that time of year and such, and had been all around my storage building, didn't think nothing about it, and had already get in there, got the weeder out, but I went in there to get something else again, and I heard the awfulest buzzing noise there ever was above my head. And I turned and looked, and there, sure enough, there was a bee's nest right there the whole time. It's a wonder I hadn't get stung. The Lord was looking out for me. But then I had that opportunity, I got to thinking, I don't know if Charlotte's ever seen a bee's nest like this. I don't know if she's ever seen something like that. I wanted to show it to her and point it out and said, Charlotte, if you ever see something that's like that, don't go to it, don't go near it, because you'll get stung and you'll get hurt. We got the same responsibility to teach the children that there are things in this life and sins that they go near to, that they need to stay away from it. They don't need to go near it because they're going to get spiritually hurt. It's going to do them more harm than it's going to do them some good. There are things we need to teach them, train them what right from wrong is. Not according to the world's standards, but according to what the Word of God teaches. What is right and what is absolute truth. Job retained his integrity toward his children. He was setting the fatherly example, the good, godly fatherly example that he needed to have for the children that's there. Notice one thing about this as well. It said that he continually said and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He didn't do it just once and then quit and leave off with it, forget about it or anything. He continually kept it up. If we're going to have a sense of revival in our families, in our lives, it's going to have to be a continual thing that we go after. We can't just come and I'll pray before the Lord once and say that I've done my duty. No, Job stayed at it continually. He had to keep up going up what was there. He had to keep following what God had told him to do. It was a continual thing. Have to work at it. You know, love's a choice. And if you're going to do, I truly love someone, whether it be God the Father or whether it be someone that's in your family, it's a choice you have to make every day. That you're going to show them the actions of love, that you're going to do the things that shows that you love them and that you take care of them. It's a choice that we've got there. And Job chose that he was going to do that continually and look out and lead his family. He was going to be that leader that was there. Do we continually offer up our children in prayer? Do we continually keep them upon our hearts? I'm sure most of us here would say that we do. That God would guide them. He would order their steps. He would keep their paths straight. And that he'd give us the grace and the strength and the tenderness that we need to teach them as well. Need to retain that integrity towards the children, towards the family. This morning as well, I looked at Job 1 and verse number 12. It said in verse number 12 of chapter 1, it said, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Not only did Job retain his integrity in the good times, he retained his integrity toward the children. He also retained his integrity in the bad times as well. How do we act when things don't quite go our way? It's easy sometimes to want to fly off the handle a little bit and get aggravated and think, man, why did that happen like this? Man, what's going on with that? Job would have had every reason right here, as far as from a human perspective, to have been angry, to have been upset. No doubt, I'm sure he was brokenhearted. Not only did he lose his possession, but he lost his children, which we know he loved because he continually got up and prayed for them and did what he could every day for them. And yet now he's come all one at a time. All these servants keep coming up and been saying, this has happened. Oh, and this has taken place. And the last one comes and says, oh, and by the way, your children are also dead as well. How would we react in that situation? Sometimes when I read and study scripture, I like to try to put myself in some of these characters' shoes. I think about what I would do in that situation. How would you act? How would you behave? It's really easy when things go bad to want to fly off the handle and just kind of get upset and get mad. That's the human nature in the flesh that's within us. And despite everything that happened there, what did Job do? We see here in the verse number 21, it said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The previous verse it said he fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. He still worshiped and still gave God thanks. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we mentioned, love is a choice. Yes. Back when man was in the garden, of course, God had given them everything that they could partake of. He said, just don't touch that one tree over there. That one's mine. Leave that alone. Don't touch that tree. So you got everything else that you can eat in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, stay away from it. Because God had to offer them the choice to demonstrate that they loved him. Otherwise, if there had been no choice, would it really have been true love? Would it really have been the love in that situation that had been there? Of course, we know how it went. Of course, the devil came along, tempted Eve. Eve gave him to the man. And there has been that sin nature that has come down upon mankind all through the ages. God gives us opportunity and gives us a choice. And Job stuck with his choice, retained his integrity, and still worshiped God and gave him the praise that was deserved there. He says that here in verse number 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You can even go ahead to chapter number 2, where we read there in the beginning. After all of this had taken place, Job stayed there, still worshiped God. Devil came back in before the Lord. And of course, the devil said, you know, skin for skin, yea, a whole man will give in exchange for his life. God gave him the ability to put his hand upon Job's life, except spare him, don't kill him. What happened? He got boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Sore boils all the way up. Sores in pain. He said he got a potsherd to scrape himself with all. But still he sat there and he still praised the Lord. Even when his own health was touched, Job still retained his integrity. He retained his integrity in the bad times. Again, it'd be easy. As we said earlier, in the good times, we can get distracted, we go complacent. That'd be what we may think be the easiest times, but it's also just as easy to want to throw things back in the face of God when bad things do happen. Human nature that's there. But Job, if you going back in the first part of the chapter, lead up until now, Job didn't just learn this overnight. Job had been training himself this far by worshiping and following after God. He had been leading up to that point, preparing himself. Whenever we decide we're going to do something for God, it's going to be a continual thing. We have to work at it, as we've said. and we're going to have to train ourselves and understand how that we're going to react when those things come. When I remember when I was a child, and of course growing up, I remember there have been a couple instances in which things would happen, be out working with my dad or different things were there and something would happen. And of course my reaction would be, oh man, like, you know, the lawnmower would tear up. We mowed yards a lot when I was a teenager, or we'd hear a break or something else like that, and it would kind of be aggravating and such. But my dad always stayed as calm as he could be. He just said, well, it'll be all right. We'll just do this and we'll fix that. And he would just roll out with it. He had a different reaction than what I had as a kid. That was something that I've tried to learn and tried to mimic and try to take on. You remember stuff like that. Fathers, this morning is Father's Day, but also it can apply to mothers as well. Are we training ourselves up? Are we showing the children what's going to take place there? Do they see us continually obeying the Lord's word every single day? Good times, bad times towards them. Do they see us reading our Bible? Do they see us praying? I remember when I was growing up, just a kid, again, real small, even when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, I remember that my dad would go in there to mom and said, let's go ahead. That's what they would call it. Now what they were saying was, let's go ahead and go pray. And they would go and they would kneel down on the couch in the living room and they would pray together after they had been reading and studying their Bibles. It may seem like such an almost insignificant thing in a way, but I'll never forget that. I never forget the example that they set there. Even in the bad times, my mom and dad, even when my dad got sick, I never recall one foul word, one foul attitude, one thing that was different. He still kept continuing to serve God. He still preached even while he wore oxygen. He set that example that was there. Job retained his integrity in the bad times. Can we ask ourselves, whenever things start turning down for us, things start looking bad for us, are we retaining our integrity as well? Let's read on. Back in Job chapter 2 and verse number 9, it said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job sin, did not Job sin with his lips? Not only did he retain his integrity in the bad times, but you notice that Job retained his integrity toward his wife as well. You may say, well, that kind of seems kind of strange. It seems like some harsh words to say to his wife that he speaks. And it says in that verse said there, it said, said in verse number 10, it said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? It may seem like a strange thing to say, but we know the Bible says the immediate phrase after that, and all this, did not Job sin with his lips. It may seem like it's a difficult thing, even when his own family began to not have the support that he had there. He still retained his integrity. His wife there had failed in the support toward him, yet Job sinned not towards her. Men, husbands, we have a responsibility, as we said there, being the spiritual leadership of the home. Job demonstrates this here with this stern but rightful rebuke of his wife's errant way. Those of us who have been married for any point in time, it's not always a bed of roses, is it? Not always do you agree on everything. I'm thankful for the wife that God has given me. Thankful for her love and support. But sometimes you just have those disagreements. You have to talk it out. You have to pray about it. And here it may seem like they're having that disagreement, but Job still knew what was right. And it may seem like it would have been a what we'd call a hard subject or a touchy subject that would have been there. But Job still decided that he was going to follow after the will of God. He was not going to listen to the counsel that his wife and his family would have offered there to him. But he said, and this is what the Lord has given to us. He said, more or less, he's going to keep on saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. There is one thing. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Wasn't sure if we'd turn there this morning, but I believe we should. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and also somewhere in Ephesians here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 1 says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 21 says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You know, it's not considered a popular thing, if you want to say, in today's woke culture, that the man is going to be the head over the wife. Now, it doesn't mean that they're a servant or that they're like a slave or anything there, but that means that God has placed the responsibility of the family upon your shoulders, man. He's got the responsibility that's there for teaching the way that we need to go. And also notice it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We know that the relationship between Christ and the church is demonstrated as being the wedding. We refer to that even when it talks about the end times, whenever the rapture is going to take place, Christ is coming to bring his bride, the church, home. That's us if we're a child of God. That's that same relationship, that same love that he loved the church. He loved you so much that he's willing to give his life so that you could come with him and have everlasting life with him. That's the same type of love, that same Christ-filled love that, man, that we're supposed to have towards our wives and towards our families. That means even when those things happen, those bad things happen, that we have to go and correct our children, or have to make the tough decisions in what direction our family is going to go, whether it be in a time of adversity that comes our way, whether it be a time of health, whether it be a time of financial crisis, fill in the blank with what is there. The responsibility of where our families go rests upon your shoulders. We got that responsibility as being man that's there. Also, ladies, as we know, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. It's also reciprocal as well. Whenever God created man in the garden, and he gave that woman to be his helpmeet, so they became of one flesh. They love one another. As children of God, we have that same relationship as well. We have that relationship with our spouse. We respect one another, work with one another. We each have a responsibility as God has ordained it. Job retained his integrity, as we see there towards his wife. So far we've seen Job retained his integrity. In the good times, he retained his integrity toward his children. Job retained his integrity in the bad times. He retained his integrity toward his wife. This morning in the book of Job, chapter number 42, looking at the end of the chapter there. In verse number 1, it coming down, of course, Job's three friends, if you like to call it there, or some might want to call them frenemies. They weren't always the best when it came to do there. We know that the center part of the book of Job is taken up with a discourse between his three friends and with Job. And there towards the latter part of the book, the Lord spoke to them out of a whirlwind. And here in chapter number 42 and verse number 1 of Job, it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hath counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that afterward the Lord had spoken these words unto Job. The Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly. And that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. This morning Job also retained his integrity towards his friends, towards his others that was there about him as well. During all that great discourse, Job had been, of course, having a discourse. His friends were pretty much saying, you've done something wrong. You've got wickedness in your life. God has brought judgment upon you for all the things that Job, that's happened there. And Job was saying, no, I've not got anything control that there. But if it is, the Lord will show it to me. Came to the end, God spoke to him out of the whirlwind. Now, it's interesting how you see there in that verse number, I believe it was 5. Verse number 5 and 6, I've heard of thee by mine hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, when the Lord shows himself, whether it be through adversity like in Job, whenever the Lord begins to show himself and you see that glory that's there, you realize just how pitiful you are. You realize just how vile that we are because of his glory that's there, because of what he is showing forth there. What did he say? He said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What did he repent there? Because he wasn't justified through himself. He was justified because of God. He understood what God had been doing. He began to understand that God had a plan for him, that God wasn't through with Job. God had a plan and a purpose there within his life. Job repented. He acknowledged God. God recognized that Job was humbling himself before them. In the book of 1 Peter 5, 6, you know, it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We're supposed to humble ourselves. Not understand that we, there's nothing that you and I could do in and of ourselves. All these things we've been talking about this morning, retaining that integrity, we could try to do in our own power, but we're going to fall flat on our face if we try. Why? Because it's this robe of flesh that we got on, but God has given us His Spirit. If we're a child of God, we're blood-bought and born again, His Holy Spirit lives within us. As we've already mentioned there towards the beginning, He's never going to forsake us. He's not going to just throw us out there by ourselves. With His strength, we can keep up with all those things. We can keep our integrity that's there, no matter what is going to show its face in our life. Job had those three friends, and in verse number 7, said it was so, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said, Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, and my servant Job hath. I say to you this morning, that whenever we do get into troubling situations, our friends aren't always going to be the ones that we need to be going to. First place we need to go seek the Father. I'm thankful that God has placed people in my life that I know that I can count on, that I can rely on, that I can ask them, do you mind to help me pray about this thing? And they say that they will. I know that they mean it. I know that they go through it. There are people that will help you through the way, that will help you in the difficult times. But as we mentioned there before, God's always been faithful. He's never going to let us down. Mankind will still let you down. These three friends, frenemies, however you like to refer to them there, came along and they were going to comfort him, but they did not speak that which was right. Job, in his integrity, acknowledged that, still didn't send out those errands. What does God say to him? He said in verse number 8, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And for my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite, and so far the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he had prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. It's interesting in verse number 10 that it says the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Job, he went and he sat down in the sackcloth and ashes after all the calamity had came. And after it came upon the bulls that were there, and everyone seemed to forsake him. And his three friends, when they came along and said they saw him afar off, they didn't even recognize Job for how he looked. They said they ran and they sat down with him for 7 days and didn't even speak one to another. They all sat there in the dust and the sackcloth and the ashes and were mourning with him, the scripture says. But we know through that discourse that things transpired. It would take far too long to even try to go through even parts of the discourse that's there in the book of Job. But despite all that was there, Job retained his integrity. Those three men ended up being wrong. And here Job said, what did God tell those three guys? I want you to go see Job. Go see the one that retained his integrity. God even said in chapter number 2, when Satan came back up and was after he had lost everything, even God himself said that he has retained his integrity. God even made that observation about him. Job kept his integrity through each trial that he was facing that was here. And even his friends came, it says, and he prayed for those friends. See, when trials come, you know, oftentimes we just want to pray for ourselves, those right around it, which rightfully we ought to do, but we also shouldn't forget those around us as well. Job had these trials come in his life. Something you and I can learn from. We can learn from the patience. We can learn from everything that took place that was there. But also I believe we can learn this morning that even in times of adversity that God can still take us and use us to help others as well. May not know today why you're facing the trouble that you are, what difficulty you've got in your life, why it's there, what God's purpose has in it, but it may be that God is setting you up to be in a position to help somebody else that's going through something similar. May it be that God, somebody is watching your life and seeing how you react and you keep your integrity, and then they may ask you and say, well, why didn't you fly off the handle, or how did you react this way to this situation? Why did you keep firm? And you could answer and say, because of the Lord. And thereby be a witness for whatever that you're going through. He prayed for his friends. God gave him twice as much. We see in verse number 11, there came unto thee, there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before. And they eat bread with him in his home. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7 more sons and 3 daughters. Had twice of all of his possessions that was there. God blessed him. It even says, if you read on down, verse number 14, and he called the name of the first, Jemima, and the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Karen Hapuk, and all the land where no women found so fair as the daughters of Job when their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Come at one point, I believe Job in the scripture there believed that he was ready for God to just take him on. He was ready to go on home and not have the suffering that was there, but God wasn't through with him. God still had plans for him. God still wanted him to be there for his friends. God still wanted him to be there for those that were going to come back. And of course, we read the word nowadays and see all the things that Job had done. Whatever you're going through, keep your integrity. Whatever difficulty may be in your life. Maybe good times, praise God, thank God, worship God for it. Maybe bad times, praise God, thank God, worship God for it. Keep your integrity towards your family. Keep your integrity towards your household that's there. Not just for men, I'm talking about for the ladies here this morning too, for everybody. We need to retain our integrity. Whatever difficulty that you're going through, God has got a plan for it. I don't believe he'll be finished with you. God has got a plan and a purpose in all things. We may never know what it is in this life. It's like that song says, farther along, we'll understand it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. He'll make it plain to us. There's a lot of things we can say looking at our nation this morning. Looking around at the churches, thinking about the families that's under attack. I believe our nation is under spiritual attack, has been for a long time. But in all those things, let us be like Job. Let's retain our integrity. Job's wife asked him that, saying, what are you still doing here? Why are you still keeping on? Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said, you're talking like one of the foolish ones. He bless and praise the name of the Lord. Let's keep our integrity. Keep God first in our lives. And let's keep on serving him no matter what comes our way. Brother Seth, would you mind coming and playing something this morning? Let us keep our integrity. If you would stand this morning, have your head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you just need to come up and pray this morning that God will give you the strength to keep that integrity. That he'll give the integrity for you and your family. That he'll help this nation to have integrity. Well, that we'd see revival in this nation. That the Lord help us to keep our integrity in all things. Whatever comes our way. Whether it be the good times, whether it be the bad times. Let us keep our integrity. Let us train up our children the way they need to go. Let us be the spiritual leaders in our household, in the churches, in our nation, on the job site, wherever it may be. I pray that God will help us to keep our integrity there this morning. Father God, we thank you this morning for everything that you've done for us. Father, Lord, I pray that you forgive us for times we have failed you. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have not retained the integrity as we ought to have. Lord, help us, dear Lord, to have the strength that we need going forward, to keep the integrity in our lives, Lord, to keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, to worship you, even when the times get tough. Lord, to worship you when the times are good. Lord, help us, dear Lord, to be the spiritual leaders that you would have us to be for our families, Lord, for the children, for the churches, all things that are there. Lord, give us a tenderness of spirit, Lord, to discern the way that we need to go. Lord, give us the strength that we need to follow it through. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for everything that you have done for us, what you have promised that you are doing, and Lord, what you promised you shall do. Lord, help us, dear Lord, just to keep that integrity till you bring us home to live with you. Father, we thank you once again for everything that you have done. And we're careful to give it praise and going on for it's in all things we'd ask and pray. In Jesus' name, amen.